So this afternoon, I'd like to go a little bit further now in this strengthening of our right or wise mindfulness, continuing to explore the Satipatthana Sutta, the four establishments of mindfulness. And so far on this retreat, we've been focusing on the first one, which is mindfulness of the body. Just strengthening our capacity to be with our physical experience with this attitude of bare awareness or non-reactivity to whatever physical sensations arise. And now, this is day two, and our sati and our samadhi are a bit stronger. We can open up the field of awareness now beyond just the body, to include what in the Buddha's teachings are known as the six sense doors. So these include the five physical senses that we're familiar with, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, physical, tactile sensations, plus the mind. So the mind is the sixth sense because in this understanding, the mind can receive visual images. We can see things with our mind's eye. And we can hear things, music, voices, and so on. We can have all kinds of internal sense contacts. So there are these six sense doors. They're called doors because it's where we receive sense contacts. And in our everyday lives, this flow of sense contacts just feels like life happening. And we're not necessarily aware of all of the myriad complex contacts that are making up our experience of the world. So in any moment in time, there's only one of six things happening: a sight, a sound, a smell, a taste, some kind of physical sensation, or some kind of mental activity. Is that right? Any of you ever experienced anything that wasn't one of those six things? Any of you ever experienced anything that wasn't one of those six things? A sight, a sound, a smell, a taste, physical sensation, mental activity? So it's like a six-piece band. And at any point in time, we can just pay attention to one of those sense impressions. And understanding that what we normally think of as the world out here and us in here is actually just a flow of sense impressions that our organism is generating. So if we can understand how that experience is happening, it becomes a little easier not to keep getting lost in it and taking it to be solid and permanent and ultimately real. So we're starting to deconstruct our experience now into some of its component parts. And in fact, a literal translation of the word vipassana means seeing separately, seeing distinctly, seeing clearly. So our physiology, our nervous systems, take the raw data from our sense doors and begins to construct a sense of me in here to whom all this is happening. And this gets enhanced by our habitual mental reactions, our reactions to the sights and the sounds and so on. And in our ordinary lives, when we have an experience at one of these sense doors, usually there's an automatic mental reaction of liking it, disliking it, wanting it, not wanting it, clinging and grasping, to bring it back to that framework. And when there's no mindfulness, that tends to amplify into some kind of thought storm of reactivity, the proliferation that I mentioned the other day, being located on the outer rim of the wheel in that model I referred to yesterday. So here on retreat, we have a very powerful opportunity to practice just receiving these sense contacts as they're happening, and restraining that habitual reactivity. And usually this is referred to as bare awareness. So I just want to name, though, that what we call bare awareness is not some kind of pure state that we're trying to get to. Because in actual practice, most of the time, our awareness is going to be affected by some kind of perception. So to take a simple basic example, once we've learned that one of those oval-shaped balls is a rugby ball, when we see a rugby ball, it's pretty hard just to see color and form and texture without the mind recognizing it, and then usually going to whatever stories we have about rugby balls based on our family, societal conditioning. So we can think of this more as a spectrum, and at one end is what we're calling bare awareness, and at the other end is proliferation or reactivity. And at any point in time, we can notice where are we on that spectrum. Are we closer to the non-reactive bare awareness end? Or are we getting caught up in entanglement and being pulled into proliferation? So the Buddha spoke about this tendency to react habitually in an image that probably many of you are familiar with, a teaching from the classical suttas on the second dart. Do any of you know that sutta? A few nods. So the Buddha, I'll read you the words because they're a little bit old-fashioned, but I think you'll get the point of the image. It says, when an untaught worldling, that's somebody who has no meditation training, when an untaught worldling is touched by a painful bodily feeling, he worries and grieves, he laments, beats his breast, weeps, and is distraught. He thus experiences two kinds of feelings, a bodily and a mental feeling. It is as if a man were pierced by a dart, and following the first piercing, he's hit by a second dart. So that person experiences feelings caused by two darts. It is similar with an untaught worldling. When touched by a painful bodily feeling, he worries and grieves. He laments, beats his breast, weeps, and is distraught. So he experiences two kinds of feeling, a bodily and a mental feeling. So as we move away from being untaught worldlings, we're learning how to distinguish between just the basic physical sense contacts and our mental reactions to them. And we have a better chance when we can make that distinction of not adding the second dart. Because at least in my own experience, we don't usually stop at just one extra dart. It's usually 5, 10, 50, or 100 pile in on there. But the earlier we can catch this chain of reactivity, the easier it is to wind back and to come back closer to that bare awareness of simply knowing, okay, right now it's like this, and it will change. So again, might sound quite simple, but again, as we know from our own experience, pretty hard to do this. And so the Buddha invited us to pay very close attention to a fairly simple aspect of our experience that's often overlooked. And this is what the Buddha referred to as feeling tone, or vedana, to use the Pali word. So again, some of you might be familiar with this as the second of the four establishments of mindfulness. So this word vedana, or feeling tone, refers to just that very simple recognition by our nervous system of any experience as being either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So with every sense contact at the six sense doors, the physiology is automatically recognizing that as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And this is going on nanosecond after nanosecond, usually just below the level of our conscious awareness. So it's just that very first hit of recognition before it complexifies into liking, disliking, wanting, not wanting, or any kind of emotional response. On one level, it's pretty obvious and basic. When we are experience a sense contact as pleasant, what's the default response? Hold on to it. Yeah, clinging, wanting, liking, enhance it. And the opposite, when it's unpleasant? Yep, push it away, get rid of it, resist it, ignore it. And if it's neutral, what's the default response? Yeah, not even registering it, or boredom, or going after something more stimulating. So these three are like building blocks that set up these different chain reactions that, when there's no mindfulness, can turn into greed, to hatred, to delusion, which you may recognize are these three core afflictive energies. So Vedana is this building block, and because it is so foundational to our reactivity, I think that's why the Buddha made it a whole foundation of mindfulness in and of itself. Because if we can bring mindfulness to just that feeling tone, we have more of a chance of being able to respond skillfully to it. So there's a very well-known quote by the psychologist and Auschwitz survivor, Viktor Frankl, many of you probably know, where he says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. That's another way of saying notice the sense contact. Notice the moving into the automatic and see if we can make a more conscious choice rather than just that knee-jerk reaction. So just as an example from my own experience, a few years ago now I was on a longer retreat at the Forest Refuge in Massachusetts. And I was a bit surprised to find that my mind kept going back to a very personal, painful interpersonal conflict that had happened at least 5 years previously. And I had thought that I had got over it. But on this retreat, I noticed how my mind just kept going back to the story of who said what and how I reacted and what I should have said and how they should have behaved and who was right and who was wrong and all that kind of thing. Looks like some of you might recognize that kind of syndrome. So I was getting pretty tangled in this. And at one point, I decided to see if I could pull it back to just the feeling tone. So I tried to replay that very first catalyst of the conflict just in terms of feeling tone. And I was amazed to discover that that was all it was just a sequence of unpleasant feeling tones. So there was the hearing of unpleasant words and the seeing of unpleasant facial expressions, and there was the watching of unpleasant actions, and then the experiencing unpleasant sensations in the body and the feeling of unpleasant emotions in the heart and the mind. And for a few moments I was in awe that that whole reality that I'd built originated because I didn't have that capacity to deal at that time more skillfully with unpleasant feeling tone. And I think we can extrapolate that. Every war, every interpersonal conflict, every problem in our lives, we could probably trace it back somewhere to a lack of capacity to relate skillfully to pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So because it is so important, that's what I'd like to continue exploring soon in our direct experience. And again, supported by the guidelines of insight dialogue. And just to say that this relational practice is optional, but probably this session this afternoon, I would say, is one of the most crucial for the whole retreat, just in case you'd like a little bit of encouragement. But if you're clear that the relational practice is really not your thing, when we get to the point of standing and walking, you're welcome just to slip out at that point and do whatever practice feels more supportive.